As a global community, emphasis has been placed on the importance of recycling and sharing a collective pride about recycling efforts. What is more important and to which we need to shift the spotlight is the first R, reduce. It is no secret that plastic is polluting our oceans and rivers, taking over our landfills, and what many people are not aware of, impacting the food we eat and in turn our health. What better way to celebrate Earth Day than by educating ourselves about the overuse of single-use items? Hello, everybody. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and this is Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. And before we dive into the content of what I believe to be a very important topic in so many ways, just a very quick tip from another great MGW partner, Tucson Electric Power. Dry laundry loads right after each other so your dryer doesn't have to reheat for each load you dry. This is just the tips that they've been giving me are great reminders. And if you're doing all of them every time you listen to a show, you're going to see a decrease in your bill. Plus, you're going to see a decrease in the load we put on the planet. So that's a very simple tip. Do your laundry all at one time and be sure to clean the lint tray out after each load because that improves airflow after every load. And that means you men and women. I know I'm being a little funny here because of my guests, but you have to remember, I mean, and in my family, so you don't think I'm being sexist, my husband is the one that reminds me to do that. So simple tips adding up, please do them. And I want to start the show off in somewhat of a different way and really put the personal in it. First of all, the person we get to spend our time with has become a friend for lots of reasons. I respect her and her passion and her commitment to our community and our planet. Secondly, we are in what I would call a situation here in our community in Tucson, and I don't think it's unique to Tucson. And as a matter of fact, I'm sure about that talking to guests from all over the country. And it's one that I believe we can all come together and make a difference for the benefit of our community, for the benefit of our planet. We would be one of those beneficiaries. So please join me in welcoming Christina Palsgrove, Public Information Officer, City of Tucson Department of Environmental and General Services. It's great to have you here, my friend.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah, and little do we know when we set this up, Kelly, so many weeks ago, that we would be like in the hot potato, hot topic area because a couple of weeks ago, there was an article, front page, I believe it was on a Sunday, above the fold, which means it's real news, in the Arizona Daily Star about the challenges you're facing in terms of recycling. So let's start there. I get to have inside edition with you. What is going on? It's troubling to lots of us.
Well, one of the things when we started recycling program back in 2002, 2003, we rolled out the Blue Barrel program. Markets were really good for recycling. So good that we were able to offset a lot of the costs of our operation.
By selling the products. By recycled
goods.
Selling
the recycled materials. Recycling never paid for itself, but we still had to send a truck out, so the costs were offset by those revenues. Due to the global markets, China in particular basically saying we're not going to take mixed paper anymore.
I call that the shot heard around the world. That was a big deal.
No more mixed plastics. So now there's no revenue and the costs have gone up. So it leaves our community, just like many, many communities across the country, with some challenges as to what are we going to do moving forward?
So let's just take one, because I don't want to interrupt, but just take one. Let's take paper. Because when we read the article, we are nuts about recycling. Like, we recycle our toothpaper rolls and our paper towel rolls. We hardly use paper towels anymore. But everything that can go, James remembers everything that can or cannot be recycled, so sometimes I have to ask him. But is there no global demand for recycled paper? I thought there was. What happened to that one?
Well, one of the things that happened is, so when we started recycling way, way back when, you know, you and I were just young women.
I'm sure
young
I was
women.
In my 40s.
No.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of paper mills in the United States.
Wasn't and there one in Arizona?
There was. There was one up in Snowflake, Arizona, and all our paper went there. They were 100% recycled. They weren't logging anymore. And we loved that all our paper went there, and then it would come down and be used by the Arizona Daily Star for their newsprint. And when China opened up their markets, it was more marketable to send it there. And
can you imagine, think of the global picture to that, to send the paper over there. And I know it would be the containers would come here, they'd get emptied, and we fill them up to take them back, so they were going back anyway. But they were a lot heavier, requiring a lot more fuel.
Sure. And so now that China has said, okay, we're not taking the mixed paper anymore, but yet there are no, or very, very few paper mills in the United States. So there's no place to take it. And when we talk about our recyclables going to China, prior to last year, probably 40 to 50% of the recyclables produced in the United States were going to China. The problem with the paper is they do have a lot of paper mills, but they need the paper. But unfortunately, too much of the paper that we're putting in the bins is becoming contaminated with food waste and grease and...
With the paper?
Yes. And so that
like
basically...
Like people, come on here.
That essentially ruins the value of that paper. So...
And you can't blame them, because if it's contaminated, they can't use it either.
Exactly. And China's in a place right now where, you know, very similar to what the United States went through after World War II, focusing on building the economy and industry at whatever cost to the environment. And then, of course, we woke up in the 70s and said, what are we doing with our air and our water quality? And that's when a lot of the environmental protection regulations were adopted. And it's great because we've seen the results of that. But China's there right now. They're looking around at their environment, and it's polluted. And so they need to clean it up, and they do not need our trash to have to figure out what to do with it.
I saw a movie at the film festival last year, the BAM Film Festival that Summit Hut brings here, and it was an entire movie about a plastic city in China, and it was real. It was not based on a true story. It was a documentary that they filmed there where there are families. The whole infrastructure is plastic. There's mountains of it. Mountains of it. There's paper. Are there any paper mills in the United States? I should have researched that. Are there any?
You know, I don't know, but I do know
then
that
it becomes transportation
that some
for
of
you guys.
Them
yeah.
are starting to come back. You know, we will expect to see, and I've read that some of the Chinese paper manufacturers are actually buying up some of those shuttered plants.
They'll come and open them up.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
You know, so, you know.
But that would be good for us anyway. They'll hire our workers.
And, you know, and the stuff will stay here, which is always good. You know, we don't need to be sending our waste other places. But it's going to take time.
It's going to take time. And boy, okay, so before we go to what the other R's should be, and remembering to really emphasize the first R is reduce, and talking about that a little bit more. So there's paper, got it for plastic. Is there, in your lifetime or mine, ever going to be a market for glass? I know one little market in Phoenix that is really thriving, and it's the ones that take the wine bottles from the Tempe and Phoenix area. They don't need bottles because there's plenty of wine being consumed in those areas, but there it's refreshed glass, and Hotel Congress uses it. It's beautiful. They make beautiful glass.
Oh, I've seen it. It's great.
So, but what isn't there something glass can be used for?
Especially in, I think about this, not scientific at all. We're going to have to come up with new composites for things like tarmacs for the because it's getting hotter and it melts. Like, aren't there any hope or signs for what we can use glass, or is it basically just being stockpiled everywhere?
Well, there's a company in Phoenix, Strategic Materials, that uses it for sandblasting, because glass is basically sand.
Okay.
So they can use the product. But the issue is, while they can use it, it costs to transport it there. And that's
glass is very, very heavy.
You know.
Yeah, very heavy. And then, so that's not a lot of hope for that. Then what about aluminum?
Aluminum is actually one of those materials that, as you know, it can be recycled forever and ever and ever. And it has a very strong domestic market. It's the most valuable commodity that we process here in Tucson, but yet it's only 1% of what we take in.
Yeah, like us, in this journey, we used to get cases of seltzer water. Well, that's not very green, so now we have a soda stream, and we make our own. So we reduced our aluminum can use by at least 97% because we just buy them now for parties when it's hard to keep filling the bottles. But that was a good habit. But then there's the problem of it represents 1% of what you can sell.
Right.
So it's always complicated. That's what I learned. You know, we're all looking for the silver bullet, and in this complex area. So what are you going to do? Or do you know that yet? I thought it was transparent that the article was put out. It is a citywide problem. As citizens, we should care. It's not for them to discover or decide. But for the people that listen to this program, they care. If they care enough to download a Mrs. Green's World podcast or Down to Earth, they care. What do we have to do to take a little bit deeper cut? I mean, that's kind of two questions, because I started off with one. You have immediate challenges that you're going to have to face. So let's do that one first.
I think one of the things that we need to do is, and continue to do, is emphasize to people that they need to make sure their recyclables are clean. You know, if you're going to put something in the recycle bin, make sure that there's no food waste, that there's no grease. You know, those greasy pizza boxes are not recyclable. You know, they're not able to capture the fibers to make it into something new.
And they contaminate whatever they're sitting on. I mean, pizza boxes are really greasy.
And a lot of the paper we get processed and the local MRF is contaminated with food. You know, so that's one of the big things. People need to be more conscientious about making sure they're putting in the right things, because there's an awful lot of wish cycling going around. And also making sure that whatever you put in that bin, the blue bin, is empty and clean. You know, that would help tremendously. And
people,
then of course,
are you listening? Like, just be conscious about what you're putting in. In our house, in my office, which you can attest to, I have a recycling bin right next to my desk. So when I open mail, when I use the second side of papers and they're done, I use that. Like I said, my point is, it's not hard at all. It's a habit. And once you have the habit, you know, walking from around this house, and then the other things we take down to the recycling bin, and it is paper. It's pretty much paper, plastic, and glass. Not a lot of food. We don't order a lot of to-go food anymore either, which is another part of the whole green journey. But pizza boxes are a dead no. And then, like, we don't use a lot of canned food either, but we do sometimes.
But the metal cans are pretty valuable, but you need to rinse them out.
And it's worth rinsing out. People say, well, what about the water you waste? Well, when you add it all up, the water intensity to make a metal or aluminum can, yes, rinse it out. You're not going to impact the environment negatively if you rinse out your dirty cans. I'm trying to figure it out. In some cities you go to, San Francisco, they're the bar, right? people have four recycling bins separated. They get fined so big time if they violate it. The enforcement of that, the cost for the enforcement of that. But you sit here and you think, what's it going to take? Because one of the things that I know and you know, the end game is, as Jane Goodall said, I'm trying to throw her into every conversation because I'm so happy that I got to meet her. Everything, we have one very small planet that's getting filled up with very many people. Very, very, very many people. So it's selfish to do this in a good way. Like, you're preserving your own darn self.
Yes. Well, you know, and you mentioned at the beginning of the program that the first R is reduce. And so we need to look at our consumption. You know, are we buying things that are using minimal packaging?
Right,
you know,
right.
We always say buy in bulk. You know, those glass jars that are not recyclable, you can clean them out and use them to store food in your cabinets.
In your refrigerator or in your pantry.
Or in your freezer, too.
Or in your freezer. We do that.
You know, but...
And health-wise, that's so much better for you because you shouldn't be storing anything in plastic. For sure. Okay.
And then just looking at the packaging because... A lot of the packaging now is not one type of material. You know, your cans are, yes, but you get a lot of dairy products that are in pouches and things like that that are, you know, really kind of sandwiches of material. And so those are not recyclable. So consider what your packaging is too, because if it's very clear that it's, you know, glass or all plastic or all cardboard, it's okay.
And I know that this is not an easy question, and maybe you don't have the answer, but one of the things that we do in this house, I have nothing against Amazon. There are days when I thank God for Amazon, because if I need something in a hurry, I think they drop it off by drone. It gets here so fast, okay? I've never seen a drone, but their packaging, OMG. We've ordered a couple of things recently because we're having a baby shower. We did a lot locally, 90%, but there were a couple of really cute things. And I said, we do so much, you know, let's just order it. You'll get this big box with plastic space holders in it, is what I call it, filler, and this tiny little thing so the box doesn't move around. How big of an impact does Amazon have, even here in Tucson? You can't go 20 minutes without seeing an Amazon truck. Now they have their own delivery. So doesn't that impact the way that you don't do that is by, like, for books. I told you I was shamed at a meeting once when I said, and I order my book on Amazon, and someone in the audience said, what? Oh, that's right. There's Bookmans and Antigone and mostly books. Yeah, just get yourself a little bit inconvenienced, Gina, and don't go.
And I'm a big ebook fan.
Ebook. I know. For my personal reading, that's great. For the shows, I make notes on them, and I'm not very good yet making that leap. But that is, the majority of people could go to that if they have any kind of reader. So, but Amazon has to have had an incredible the amount of cardboard they're using. Why don't they open? Maybe we'll call Jeff Bezos and ask him to open up a couple of power plants. He could use some good PR.
But the cardboard still holds a lot of value.
So that's good.
That's good.
Okay. If people recycle it and don't contaminate it.
Right.
Okay.
And, you know, you just need to break it down. It only takes a few seconds to break it down. It's okay if it has some tape on it. But cardboard is actually one of those, you know, traditional commodities that really has held its value. And so it's a good product, and it does get reused. And you see most retailers around the community, the grocery stores, the big department stores, you know, they're baling their cardboard. They are not putting it into a trash bin.
I do see that. I do see that. And that matters. And so let's recap. So there's still a market for cardboard. There's still a market for aluminum. I'm not advocating people buy more aluminum, but if you do, make sure you put it, and metal cans. Those are the three that are
and
still...
And actually, number one and number two, plastic bottles and jugs, very high domestic markets. Most
so it's
of the,
really not all bad.
Most of the carpeting produced in the United States comes from plastic bottles.
Right.
A lot of the fleece jackets and things we buy are
clothing,
made from...
Clothing, a lot more clothing, jeans and all that is very soft. There's a lot of it.
And those are produced domestically, and so they're really good to put in the bin.
You know, I had this fascinating guy on one of my Mrs. Green's World shows named Mark Biddle. And you would have loved this interview. He was fascinating, and we had really good energy between us. So he worked for Dow Chemical, and he developed a process to break hard plastics, like, you know, computer pieces and car pieces, into back to the micro dots. And it took him a long time. And guess where all the plants are? In Europe and I think he said, like, I don't know, maybe the Philippines, but he patented it. A team of scientists did it. And you know what one of his biggest challenges was? Supply. And I talked about you. I said, yeah, because people don't recycle enough. So one of their biggest challenges was getting enough plastic because they had the process, and it was very successful. And he sold the companies. Now he's an entrepreneur investing in clean energy. But he was a great guy. But I mean, there, like I said, it's a complicated issue.
And, you know, and we do see a lot of interesting developments in our country and in other countries.
But people are trying
to solve
it. Yeah.
From, you know, developing those ideas and being able to
implementation.
Implementation. Yep. Yeah, it's years.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have hope that we'll get there.
I have hope that I live long enough to see it. I say that a lot now.
I think you will.
After ever seeing Jane Goodall, 85 years old, on the road 300 days a year, I'm like, yeah, I'm inspired. I would perish if I thought about retiring because there's so much work left to do. So is it fair to say, or is it a gross exaggeration, that one of the biggest challenges that this hoopla is about could really be minimized by first reducing, that's good, but second, being conscious about contamination?
Absolutely.
That is the biggest challenge.
That is one of the hugest challenges and really one of the first things, you know, to tackle. Just getting the trash out of there, you know. And I mentioned wish cycling. People who are good recyclers, they want to recycle everything. And we have to remember that recycling...
I heard you say that. Yeah.
Recycling is not just about, you know, saving energy by using something that's already been made and breaking it down and making it into something new, but it has to be a material that you can produce something that's of quality from that material. You know, it's not just the reuse, because if it, you know, we should be reusing too. That's the second R.
It is. And really repurposing. That's a really good art. And this guy and you have said, I think you said the same thing, Mark Biddle, the fourth R is responsibility. There's a couple of candidates up for the fourth R.
Refuse.
That's another one. It's like really and truly the end game for all of this is reducing our consumption as a country and getting into that mindset. And I think we're like, after that article, it sounds ridiculous, but there's almost a sadness in me if any of that has to be cut off for those of us that are. We took the master's recycling class that the city uses, and as is typical in our relationship, by the time I got to the car, I forgot half of it. James, on the other hand, remembers all of it to this day because it stuck, and he was paying attention. I was probably, you know, talking to somebody, but... Where can people go that's easily accessible? And all this will be on the show pages. Kelly will have it linked to a Fare Thee Well. But where can people go, like me, and I've gone to the site, to find out what can and cannot be recycled? It is not hard.
If you go to domoreblue.com, you'll be
like,
able
do
to
more
see.
Blue. You can even remember it. Do More Blue.
And we have an app called Recycle Coach. And it provides you with a lot of good information, but one of the things you can do is look up to see what you should do with the material. And we connect that to the Tucson Clean and Beautiful directory because they spend a lot of time looking for local reuse and recycling opportunities. And if it's recyclable in Tucson, they will know where.
Tucson Clean and Beautiful knows. And, you know, I've been doing this so long. I have their old printed copy, I still use it.
Oh, yeah.
I still use it because it helps me direct. And I know a Local First initiative that we're going to do because of CJ. At every Local First meeting, we're doing e-waste collection. And we're gonna partner with Rise because that gets people in the habit. It was CJ's idea. He wants Local First to be as sustainable as possible. And we're really going to hype it up. And I've said to my friends, do you know how hard it is to send an email to five friends that live in your neighborhood and say, there's this e-waste, I'm going to take it to this meeting I'm going to, drop it off at my house, and we put it in the trunk.
And which of us, you know, who among us doesn't have an old phone or an old...
Oh my gosh, the cords.
Tucked away, the cords.
The cords. When they come up with a product for that, if they could figure out how to make women's clothing out of cords, we'd be in business. I mean, we have cords. And not to mention, they're mystery cords. James can usually figure out what they're for. But think about the things that we have cords for. Our iPads and our iPhones. And they change. And then they make them not user-friendly. I mean, this isn't compatible with that, so you have to buy another gizmo.
I just got a new phone, and it uses a different cable than the previous one. And so I had to buy these little adapters in order to use the cables that I already had.
And that to me is always just a damn marketing scam. It is, because they want to sell more gizmos. Mm-hmm. When I got my new phone, that was what I said. Do I have to get all new accessories? And I didn't, because I think people got so mad at the iPhone because they were doing it. And that's planned obsolescence. They want things to be obsolete. And this has nothing to do with all of this conversation, but one of the things that people ask me the most is, what do they do with batteries? And you have answered that question for me, and I say, throw them in the garbage.
If it's an alkaline battery,
right,
just throw it in the garbage. If they're rechargeable, if they are the kind that you use to charge power tools or anything that's rechargeable, a battery pack, those are considered household hazardous waste, and they can drop them off at the Los Reales landfill Monday through Saturday, or at the monthly drop-off, first Saturday of every month at the Eastside Service Center, and we take them at no charge.
And people line up.
They absolutely line up.
I mean, we've gone a couple times, and there's a market for that. People care enough about it. You know, I was thinking about what else we can do as individuals. And if you work in an office and you really care, I'm saying right out loud, print a flyer of what can be recycled. Just do something to spread the word. Engage in conversations. One of the guests I had recently said, it was this guy named Gar Alperovitz. And he said, he's creating a whole new economy. He's like 20 years ahead of us. And he said, the first thing you can do is get people talking about the subject. Get them engaged in conversation. And we can do that. We can get people to talk about it. You can be sure some of my friends see me coming and they're like, please don't ask her anything about the environment. Please don't talk about recycling.
Well, you know, I get all those calls asking me, what can I do?
What can I do? You're the public information officer. You have to know it all. But what I really do admire and respect about you is that it is a passion for you, and you do care deeply. It's not just a job.
Well, I think, you know, and you and I have talked about this before, but I was born here. This is my community.
And, I know, and I'm jealous.
And, you know, we have to do what's good for our community.
And this is our planet.
Yes.
It's a very small planet, and it really does impact, our actions impact. This is what got us here. So I think we covered it, kiddo. We covered a lot.
Well,
think about contamination, and thank you. And I have some last words. I'm doing this now, and I love it because it puts my thoughts out there, and I think deeply about each of these shows. So as a mission-based organization, we are committed to raising awareness about every aspect of climate change imaginable. And this is yet another one of our shows that helps to remind us that people who care and realize that they are part of the climate change solution can make good things happen, good things that are beneficial to all of us. Christina Palsgrove does indeed work for the city of Tucson. She is a stellar example of a government employee who cares deeply about what she does. She gets excited about hosting trips to the landfill. Like, who does that? she does, and she gets me excited. She gets excited about forming partnerships and collaborations that will benefit our community. She works and plays well with others, and our community is better because of it. Christina and her team from the Department of Environmental Services are great examples of staff who are part of an organization that is truly committed to creating and sustaining a world that works for everyone. We're proud of our partnership with them, and we do our part to help create their brand identity as true leaders in the business of sustainability in an industry where that can create many challenges or present many challenges that sometimes require complex solutions, but that always have as their foundation a desire to make good things happen. Thank you for being a part of our world. And Christina, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Forward promote two shows. I almost forgot that because I want to always pique your interest. Monica Gagliano. I cannot wait for this show. Oh my gosh. PhD, research associate professor from the University of Western Australia. I am almost finished her book, and it's about plants speaking. Imagination, Science, and the Mind of Plants. And the name of her book is Thus Spoke the Plant, and it is unreal. April 25th, Nancy Spaulding of Pima Community College and Judith Roman Bukakis. I hope I said her name right. Judy, who has a name change from Goodwill of Southern Arizona, fashion forward Goodwill style. So make it a great green week, everybody, and don't contaminate your recycling.